It's good morning. How is your morning this morning? You good? Yeah? Well, it has been quite a while since I stood up here and got to share the word with you, but it is one of my favourite times of the year, and leading up to Christmas, and I didn't want Jeremiah to hog all the good Christmas weeks, so I thought that I might take a turn again, because this time of year is fun, isn't it? You know, even those that don't even know or acknowledge the actual reason behind the season, you know, even they're having a good time and celebrating. And I go, well, then how much more should us who do know why Christmas is a big deal be full of joy and hope and good cheer? You know, God came near. This is Jesus, you know, fully God, fully man, came as a baby for all mankind so that we could be reconciled to the Father. You know, Jesus came so that we could have life and life in all of its fullness. You know, so that whoever believes shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And this is good news, people. You know, the best news. And we should be carriers of this news all year round. But how cool is it that we have this time set aside each year to remember again that moment in history when a baby was born in a small town and it heralded in a new era of hope for mankind? You know, this is exciting. And we get to eat leftover brandy snaps for breakfast. You know, like this is a cool time of year. So, you know, I love this time of year. I hope you can tell. And, you know, and as an aside, actually, you will have heard us talking about the Christmas production, which is coming up next week. And can I really encourage you to not only bring yourselves along, because it is going to be a wonderful time, but also have a think and have a pray about someone you know who maybe doesn't yet know Jesus and invite them along. Because our prayer is that it's going to be a catalyst for conversations where you, where us, where we, the church, is going to be able to share the story of Jesus and why we believe Christmas is worth celebrating. And we're praying that those conversations then lead people to seek God for themselves and ultimately for them to find and accept Jesus as their Saviour. You know, so it's not just an invite to a Christmas show. It is bigger than that. So please do come along, and also please continue to partner with us in prayer also for what's going to happen as a result of it. Now, those of you who have been keeping track will know that this is the third week in our Christmas preaching series. 2 weeks ago, we had Julia come, and she came and she spoke on not losing the Saviour in this stuff. And she introduced us to some of the characters that we find in the Christmas story. And she encouraged us to be like Mary, who was surrendered and willing to say yes to God's plans and purposes. Like Joseph, to be gracious in the unexpected. And like the shepherds, to be joyful and generous to share what it is that we have heard. And like the wise men, be seeking and bring worship which is worthy of the King. And then last week we had Jeremiah, and he spoke some more about Mary, the mother of Jesus, who's a pretty pivotal character in the whole thing. And Luke 1:28 describes how an angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." And continued on to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favour with God." And he talked about how Mary was found with a humble and willing spirit. And as such, God was able to use her in the working out of his plan. And the challenge was put forward, are we also to be found humble and willing? Because we too are carriers of the Son of God. And God is still outworking his plan here on earth and wants to use us and partner with us if we are willing. You know, those are good things to consider, aren't they? You know, those are good things to be praying about, to be meditating on. Also, if you weren't here those last couple of weeks or you want a reminder, you can always find the preaching on the podcast. If you need help with that, let us know. Well, this week we're going to take a look at another key player of the Christmas story, which is a pretty sought-after role in the Nativity play. And that is, of course, of Joseph. Has anyone ever got to play Joseph in the Nativity before? None. Oh, might need to work on that for next year's Christmas production, or I'll put in a good word for you. You know, so what do we know about Joseph? Well, the first time we actually kind of hear about him precedes the birth of Jesus by some several hundred years. Because if we take a look back at some of the prophecies that were given of the coming Messiah, in Jeremiah 23, 5, 6, it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour." You go, well, that did not say Joseph. But when it says, "I will raise up a David," that also can be read as from the line of David. And that's our man Joseph. You see, he was of the line of David, meaning as the legal father of Jesus, Jesus too was now part of this line of David, therefore fulfilling the numerous prophecies around the Messiah. Well, what else do we know? Well, we first hear him actually called by name in Matthew in chapter 1. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Well, there's a few things to unpack here. Firstly, I know that with the benefit of hindsight, I usually look at the full story and I go, wow, you know, how awesome is it that a virgin conceived and gave birth to Jesus? You know, good job, Mary. Good job, Joseph. Yay, Jesus has come and fulfilled the prophecies. You know, he was born of the right line in the right place. As foretold, like, great story. But I can imagine that it didn't feel great at the time for Joseph to be included in the story. You know, especially in that bit there before his first visit from the angel. You know, I imagine that he probably would have been questioning, like, God, why is this happening to me? Why is it happening to him? You know, I wonder if he ever imagined that what was an undoubtedly tough moment in his life, finding out that his betrothed is pregnant, you know, and that he's going to need to divorce her. I wonder if he ever imagined that that would be recorded and remembered as part of a story that would be celebrated for generations to come. I wonder if he knew what a vital role he was playing, or if he was able to see past what was happening to him in that moment and look forward to how God was going to orchestrate the situation. You know, do you think it crossed his mind when Mary told him what had happened that maybe he was going to play a role in the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the promised Messiah? You know, I don't know. What we do know is that Joseph cared about doing the right thing. You know, it says he was faithful to the law. According to the law, not only was he entitled to divorce Mary, but he could have had her stoned for adultery. You know, because remember, from all appearances, she is pregnant illegitimately. And he knows it wasn't by him. You know, but we're told that he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, even though that was his right to do so if he had wanted to. So he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was trying to make the right choice that would honour both the law and Mary. You know, and if that is where the story had stopped, those around him would have said, wow, what a good man. You know, Joseph, you know, he could have had Mary stoned, but he didn't. He didn't even call her out. He didn't even make her walk around the square or anything. You know, they might have said, that Joseph, he's a good man. You know, but as we know, the story doesn't stop there. It continues on. Continuing on from that passage in Matthew, it says, "After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, when I read that passage, what sticks out to me is that Joseph wasn't just a good man, but he was a godly man. And what I mean by that is that Joseph was more interested in following God's wishes and instructions than what was seen by man as the good thing to do. You know, Joseph isn't an integral part of the story because he was good. You know, he would have still been good if he had quietly divorced Mary. But he is part of the story because he was presented with a chance to become godly, to conform to God's wishes, and he took it and he was obedient. I was reading a commentary on this passage which said, by marrying his pregnant fiancée, Joseph was practically declaring that the child was his. Everyone they knew naturally would have assumed impurity on both their parts. However, Joseph was willing to accept that stigma so that he could obey the Lord and provide legitimacy, respectability, and protection to Mary and her son. You know, doing the right thing and being an upstanding member of society were important to Joseph. We know that it's recorded that he was faithful to the law, but he understood that the right choice was to follow God's instructions, even if that wasn't the easiest choice or the most popular choice or the expected choice. And as I've been kind of contemplating Joseph, I feel the Holy Spirit has been highlighting for me this distinction between good and godly. As many of you know, I have two sons. And let me tell you something about parenting. There are a lot of opinions out there on what is the right thing and the best thing and the only way and the other way. And man, and the thing is, people get really passionate about them and they have these opinions because they want what is best for their kids, right? You know, I genuinely believe it's coming from a great place. And do you know what else I've discovered as I've kind of started navigating all of those opinions? Is that actually I could do any number of them and still make a good choice and be a good parent. You know, there is not just one right choice. But as I was thinking about that, I think the same is true in so many areas of our lives. We have so many opportunities to be good and to do good, you know, but I don't want to just be good. I want to be godly. Yeah. You know, no one would have faulted Joseph for quietly divorcing Mary. Given his options, it was a good choice. You know, it meant that he was following the law. It was the kindest option for Mary. Yet the difference between good and godly was a visit from an angel with instructions from God. You know, Joseph was a good man, but it was not that, but rather an encounter with God that led him to take a different path, which led him to be included in the story that we know today. And as I've sat and I've pondered this distinction, you know, the Holy Spirit's really been asking this question of me, am I settling for good? And I think it's particularly easy, especially at this time of year, to get swept along in the busyness and end up settling for the easy or the expected or the popular choice. And it's tricky because it's so subtle, right? Because I'm not saying those choices are bad. They might be good things, but are they God things? Are they what God is asking you to do? Thinking, even for me, it comes down to things. You know, we talked about the Christmas production. Inviting people along to that is a good thing. You know, but I'm tempted to invite my friends who already have an idea of who Jesus is, who I know are going to say yes, who are going to come along and are going to enjoy it. And it's a good thing to invite them along and to go and to celebrate with other people who already know the good news. But if I stopped and I actually listened to the Holy Spirit, I know there's some people that he's asking me to invite that I don't know how they're going to receive that invitation. And it's a little scary. And I have to go a little bit more out of my way. But that is what being godly in this situation looks like. Not just inviting the first person I come across or my neighbor who I love and really like to go along to things with, but actually the person that God is asking. When I am faithful to God's instructions, that is when I'm not just being good, but I'm being godly. And there are so many opportunities that we have before us. And I think one of the ways that the enemy gets us is by allowing us just to think that we're doing the right thing without actually including God in it. Because we know often what the right choice is and what the godly choice is. But what it means is that sometimes we can end up just going through the motions. And God doesn't want us just going through the motions of just doing things in his name. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to hear his voice. And he wants us to follow and be obedient and faithful to what he asks us to do. You know, the difference between the good and the godly choice is an encounter with God. And I know that I'm guilty of rushing through life sometimes without stopping or making room to seek and hear from God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test what is God's perfect will." And I think sometimes we forget to have those moments where we are sitting with God, where we allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds, where we are able to test our actions against what God's will is, not just what might seem like a good choice, what might not be praised by the people around us or accepted by society as a good thing to do, but what is it that God would have us do? And so after sitting with Joseph's story over the last wee while, these are the things which I've kind of been considering, which I'd invite you to consider with me. Firstly, is I wonder if we've ever found ourselves wishing that we weren't included in the story without realizing that we are only partway in and the rest is still to come. And I wonder if we find ourselves in that moment, if we are able to lift our eyes and to ask God to help us, give us strength in that moment, to realize that he has a plan and he has a purpose, and that right now the story is not complete. And as we sang in that song, you know, that I will testify because I have witnessed it. I have seen those times when it looked and felt impossible and hard, and God came through and he used it for his glory. You know, I've seen those times when he has turned situations around in ways I didn't know were going to be possible, and going, what I thought was a disaster, he was able to use to accomplish great things. So instead of sitting in that space and going, oh, I wish this wasn't my story, of looking for those opportunities to praise within the storm, and of also being able to go, God, would you show me where you're leading me in this? How are you going to turn this around? What are you going to do? The other thing is, are we stuck being good without godly? And I'd really encourage you, it does my heart good to look around the room and see people who have chosen to come to church today, because this is a space that you have carved out to come to worship, to seek God in the company of others, and to hear the word. And these are the types of spaces that we need to be carving out, not just on a Sunday morning, not just corporately, but privately all throughout the week. Are we allowing space and time to hear God so that we are able to discern what his will is, so that we are able to not just be good, but be godly? And along with that, are we more interested in what others think or about being right before God? You know, it feels nice when we do a good deed and others see it and they go, oh, did you see that person? She went and packed Christmas boxes and she gave them out to the poor. Isn't she awesome? You know, that gives us a little like, oh, it does feel nice to help others. You know, but sometimes God calls us to do things and we're not going to get that recognition here. But when we are faithful, it says that we are storing up treasures in heaven where they cannot be taken away from us. I invite the band to come back up. So I don't know if you resonate with any of that this morning, but I would encourage you this season, as we do all the things, as we tell the story, as we celebrate, as we are busy, don't let that stop you from taking this moment to hear from God, to have encounters with our Saviour, because he has so much in store for us. When he's talking about the life in all of its fullness, that doesn't come from us being good. That comes from us walking step by step with his Spirit. That comes from us following and hearing God's voice. He has so many things set up and in store for us. If only we would take the time to be in his presence, to make sure that the most important thing is hearing God's voice and being obedient to it, not listening to what we might be expected of us, what other people might think. All of those things, they pale in comparison to being able to stand with God. And so we're going to take some more time now and we're going to sit and worship again. And I encourage you to just lift your eyes to the heavens. Ask God to speak with you. If you're in a moment where it's feeling tough, where you're like, this is not the story I would have chosen for me, then I just pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to you in that moment, would flood you with his peace, that you would be able to be reassured that God is good and he has not forgotten you, and there is a plan and there is a story that is still unfolding. And I'd also encourage you to let the Holy Spirit challenge you. You know, ask, are there things that I'm doing just because, instead of doing things because you've asked me to? Is there somebody that you should be speaking to? Is there, you know, something that you should be doing or something that you shouldn't be doing because of where God is asking you to be? And so, if you want to stand, please stand. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to come forward and kneel, whatever it is that you feel like you need to do to have some space now where you just get to hang out with God, then that's what we're going to do for a moment.